It's time for the True Sports Card Show.
The only one-hour radio show that gives you the very latest in sports memorabilia news from around the world.
Here are your hosts, industry expert Imran Palladi and Sactown Sports 49ers insider Emil Fragoso.
Good morning, everybody. It's Imran over at True Sports Cards along with my co-host Emil Fragoso. And yes, this is still me and my voice.
Wow. Week two.
It's
week two.
How was your Christmas?
It was all right. I was working. So, you know, no real rest for me. I had a 15-hour day.
Not
and it was
only
a bad
were
day.
You working, it was a bad day. It was as a 49ers it was just, insider.
You know when you
okay?
No, I'm not, because it was a really bad day. It was one of those where I was like, man, I kind of wish I stayed home. It was that bad.
It's crazy because I had the flu. My son had the flu. Yep. My wife took care of us. She avoided the flu. You can hear my voice. I'm actually well. It just, my voice hasn't come back.
Interesting.
But, you know, it's not a big deal. It's just radio.
It's odd, too, because I had the flu as well. I also got the flu last week, and my voice didn't go away. It was just I got, you know, flu-like symptoms. But we're all good now.
Oh, my God.
It's just Emran sounds like the Grim Reaper.
Yes,
stuff.
Yes. Which is why we're going to recap 2023, the Grim Reaper season of
yes.
sports cards.
It really was.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Please bear with me through this voice. We've got one week to go until our next one, so I'm going to make sure that I get my voice going. But I wanted to kind of do a few announcements at the top of the show. First of all, I wanted to tell you I'm excited that we announced our True Sports Cards Sacramento Autograph Expo.
Yeah.
We do it every year. This would be our third one. We announced it for May 17 through 19, 2024. And we announced our first guest, Jason Williams.
Woo!
Jay Will himself will be in the house.
Love Jay Will.
And he will be our autograph guest. I'm so excited to have Jay Will back in Sacramento. He'll be available. And one thing that he doesn't normally do with the public is sign a specific inscription. He doesn't do white chocolate. However, I talked with Jason.
Oh, wow.
We worked it out. He will have that as an option for people to get
interesting
an autograph with a white chocolate inscription.
I wonder why. That's his moniker. That's what he's famous for.
I think that certain people have different expectations as to what they're okay with
okay.
on inscriptions. I don't know if Jason ever felt comfortable being called that.
I understand.
I mean, we call him Jay Will,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, it's what it is, but he said yes.
Okay, he said good.
Yes, so.
And it's so great to hear that Jay Will come back to Sacramento, one of the Kings' all-time favorites. Just in, even for me, obviously I was a young kid when he was with the Kings, but just seeing his highlight clips over the years and how great of a passer he was, man, very, very talented athlete.
He's a great guy, too.
Yeah, yeah,
honestly.
He is.
He's so good with the fans. And then next week, we're going to be announcing our next autograph guest.
Wow.
Who will happen to be one of the greatest baseball players of all time. I'll leave it at that.
Wow, what a tease.
Yep.
What a tease.
One of the greatest of all time with local ties. So we will go over that. All right. Also, I want to let you know about next weekend, next Saturday, a week from today, we're going to be at the Sacramento Card Show. That's going to be held at the Wyndham Hotel. Some people have known it mm-hmm. as the Crown Plaza. It's there at 5321 mm-hmm. Date Avenue.
Yep.
It's off the Madison exit.
Yes, it is. Off the Madison yep. exit. Not too far from here, actually.
You've gone to that show.
I've been at a great time. Had a lot of great buys. It's a big, big show. So if you're looking to do some wheeling and dealing at the start of the new year, this is the place
to
be.
We have three tables there at the show. We've been members of that show for 3.5 years. We're there every show. So if you haven't had a chance to check out the Sac Card Show, it's been held by the promoters, Steve and Chris. They've been doing it for 11 years. It's been the longest running card show in Northern California, 11
wow.
years straight.
That's a lot.
And I've always had a good time there. We will be there. We will be buying cards. We will be selling cards.
As will I, so.
It's a good time. Yeah, but I have a booth.
You know, I'll be there buying and selling cards with you.
Gotcha.
And then also doing the same thing with everyone else. So come stop by. Come say hi if you see us. See
sure.
me as well. Sacramento next Saturday.
They also will be having JSA there, James Spence Authentication.
Love that.
They'll be doing on-site autograph authentication. So if you missed our in-store event that we did just a couple of weeks ago, you can bring your items to the show so that way you can get them authenticated there on site. The last call for items to be given to them will be on at 2:00 so that way they can finish.
Yeah.
The show is from 9 to 4. We'd love to see you there. Come by and say hi and we'll go from there. And then finally, yes. last announcement, Trade Night. Trade Night's going to be January 13th from 6 to 9 here at our store at 6661 Stanford Ranch in Rockland. And have you been to one of ours?
Yes, of course I've been to Trade Night. It's a great, great time.
What did you do there? Did you make any trades or purchases? Or
I made, I think, one or two purchases. I more so go for Trade Night to see everyone else make purchases. I love to see the young collectors, these young kids. They make some really big deals, and that's really cool to see and just see how the hobby grows and connecting with people like that. So that's what I go to the Trade Night for, is to more so meet the people in the hobby in the area.
We sell a little bit that night, but really it's focused on collectors meeting other collectors. That's the most important thing to me. So that's going to be January 13th, two Saturdays from now, from 6 to 9 p.m.
Busy early year schedule for us.
Maybe I'll get my voice back by then.
Hopefully so, yeah.
All right, Emil. So we're running uninterrupted till the end of the hour. Nate behind the window is coordinating the commercials there. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go straight through.
We should.
And we're going to talk. I really want to talk about, with this being our last show before the end of the year, we've been doing what now? 6-7 shows?
Yeah.
So I want to recap 2023 and where it's been.
I like that.
And I wanted to talk about 6 or 7 different subjects and kind of go into detail with those.
I'm going to
rely on you heavily based on the fact that my voice is what it is.
That's what I'm here for, baby.
I will tell you that nobody's more frustrated than me that my voice is not working. And I'm going to let you in on a little secret, okay? So the reason why my voice takes so long to get back, and this is a true story. Some of you have heard us on the radio and know that I'm a 2-time cancer survivor. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I did was, when I went through the radiation, my tumors in my body were in my chest area. I had 41 tumors in my body.
Wow.
And I had lymphoma. So you can't really remove tumors. They either have to shrink or, you know, because it's part of your lymphatic system.
Yeah.
And so when I went through my radiation for 4 months straight, they were basically microwaving my body, and mainly the esophagus and chest area.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a lot of scar tissue in my esophagus.
Mm-hmm.
So any kind of interruption like coughing or sickness or anything like that really takes a toll on my throat, takes a toll on. So like if I'm emceeing an event, which I used to do for real estate all the time, by the third day, I was toast. So for me, it's taking a long time. I wanted to know, let people know that this is kind of the condition that I deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But so be it. At least I'm here to have this condition.
At least you're feeling healthy. It's just your voice isn't portraying that. But you look great, Emery.
Right.
You really do. Thank you
very much.
Mm-hmm. Not pale or anything like that. He looks fantastic. So.
All right. So let's talk about 23. There's 6 topics that I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is the rise of Whatnot.
Yes.
And other online platforms, particularly to the mobile device. Mm-hmm.
Fanatics Live as
so,
well, yeah.
Yeah, so what's your experience with Whatnot?
I've had a lot of experience with Whatnot, actually, both in breaks as well as just, you know, buying singles. I do hop in the True Sports Card stream at least once a week, typically, to see what's going on with Ant and Pete. And I really like Whatnot because it's a direct connection with the seller at the moment, live it's happening. And you can buy through the app, and I like that. Because of the convenience, you know. You don't always want to go into the store. Obviously, it's the holidays, it's wintertime, sickness is on the rise. You want to be health conscious for a lot of people. So if you're still looking to buy and sell and looking into investing in sports cards, it's a great way to get in on products that you normally wouldn't get on, especially in breaks and stuff like that too, because you're able to just be a part of the community that way, and you're able to grow and learn about the hobby and about the sports in just general. Through talking with these people.
There's always a show on.
Oh, always.
Right? So it's the Home Shopping Network 24/7.
Yes.
And you could click around channels and find what you're looking for. The fact that your PayPal or your credit card is attached to your account makes it really easy.
Mm-hmm.
And it also makes it really easy to overspend.
Oh, trust me, I have.
And what we do is we are now moving to a format of once a week. So True Sports is going to have our own show once a week. It's probably going to be Thursdays. We'll announce on our Instagram officially, but we took this week off.
Mm-hmm.
But starting next week, it's going to be Thursdays at 7:35 p.m. local, and we'll just run until the end of the night. We tend to run singles.
Yes.
We tend to run like $1 run at auctions.
Yep.
And Ant Marrero is our host. Pete also joins in, and the two guys just have a blast.
Yeah.
And sometimes I close my eyes and go, I can't believe we're selling it for this price. And sometimes I'm pleasantly surprised that we see some stuff going for, you know, close to what we believe it should sell for. Mm-hmm. But the point of what I'm getting at, yeah, it's called Whatnot. Steve A is in our chat right now, yep, on YouTube asking about it. It's called Whatnot, one word, mm-hmm, and you can download it in the App Store, and you can watch or you can participate and buy. But basically, it's a way for us to sell. It's a platform.
Yeah.
We sell a lot of items, and when we look at the mailing addresses that we send it to, mm-hmm, there are often people that are on the East Coast. Yeah. So when we're on at 7:30, it's people at 10:30 at night over on the other side.
It's amazing that the hours of the night people are up watching these live streams and watching breaks and watching people open packs. It's amazing. I'll hop on at like 10 o'clock at night, and that's 1 o'clock East Coast. There's more East Coast people on that feed than there is West Coast people.
We usually have 40 to 60 in the room at any given time.
Yeah, you do.
And the funny part about it is either we sell to a lot of single people, or we sell to a lot of people whose spouses either don't care or are asleep.
Yep.
Because I know when I'm on Whatnot and I'm watching, my wife is with me. She's like, can you please get off of that? I'm like, I've got to watch the stream. Our guys are selling stuff. You don't understand.
It's actually fun. I have a story on that. We were in here prepping to record a show. And it was like 7:30 at night, and Emran's team had already gone on for the night to do the Whatnot stream. Well, I'm sitting there while we're prepping the show, bidding on cards as we're prepping for the show, and I won a couple, actually.
That's great.
That's how convenient it is, though, is you can literally do it while doing something else. It's that easy to just slide your finger over and bid on something.
Now, with that said, I mean, the reason why I'm bringing this up as a topic of 23 is because we're going to see, I mean, there's another smaller one called Loop. Mm-hmm. And they had another one called Card Shop Live. Sports Card Nonsense had theirs, but yep, it's defunct at the moment. Mm-hmm. Because what ends up happening is, you know, where people go and tend to use will rise to the top. You're too young for this, Emil, but mm-hmm, there was a chance there that it was going to be HD video or Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah.
And there was the two options, right? And people were just like, Blu-ray.
You should VHS then, tapes, too.
And then it went to Blu-ray. But one of the two faded out. Mm-hmm. And Whatnot was competing with a company called Loop, L-O-U-P-E. Loop is still around, but smaller. And now we're at the brink of Fanatics Live,
yes,
being one of these that are going to take over. Now, I don't use Fanatics Live.
Neither do I.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Because it's so much easier to use Whatnot, and sometimes habits will end up being the reason why people choose one over another.
Well, let me ask you this question then, because we just brought up Fanatics Live. Do you think Fanatics, not going to say they're monopolizing the market, but they're really taking an ownership of the market with the purchases of basketball and football and having licensing? Do you think that the Fanatics Live app is going to take more of a presence over it because they're the official licensed product, streaming service, all that great stuff?
I think it's going to depend on what they decide to tell breakers and dealers what's allowed and what not to. Mm-hmm. Okay. What if they said to you, as a hobby shop like myself, mm-hmm, hey, you can break your product, but if you do it on anything other than Fanatics Live, we're going to cut your supply off.
Wow.
Do you think that's not potentially coming?
That's incentive. That's for sure.
If you want to have product.
Yeah.
Right? So then guess what? We're all moving to Fanatics Live. Should they do that? That's called a monopoly. I don't know if they can legally, mm-hmm, but they certainly can restrict how much they sell to somebody.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk a little bit later about the direct tops and FedEx to the hobby shop, direct to the breakers, yes, versus distributors here in a little bit. But I just think that Fanatics Live 24, mm-hmm, is going to be quite the topic.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to take a lot of people off of Whatnot and move them over to Fanatics Live. However, that also changes the models as to where some of these guys are breaking and what they're breaking.
It does.
So, for example, Backyard Breaks, mm-hmm, happens to be the biggest breaker on Whatnot platforms, yes, on Whatnot. But they've really restructured their business now to be about 50% repacks.
Oh, yeah.
So they don't need to rely on Fanatics for product as much as they were when they were strictly breaking.
Plus, they have their own fan base already established within Whatnot. It's hard to move that over to different platforms. It's hard to transition. It takes a lot. I know when we first got the 49ers, we got their branding rights and stuff. It took forever. ever to get all the viewership over. And now we're finally starting to see the collection. We've had it for almost a year now having the Niners. So it takes time to transition it over. So 2024 is going to be a real year of transition, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure, especially on these online or mobile device platforms. Mm-hmm. The second thing that we should talk about in 23 is the downturn in market conditions.
Yeah.
Okay, so people are like, well, my card went down. Well, my card went down. And I go, I get it. And it's sensitive to you.
Yeah.
But as a hobby shop owner, how do you think I feel? 20% of my entire inventory has gone down.
I know.
In market conditions in the last 90 to 120 days. And it's funny. I had a guy. He came to my shop. And it's okay. I love people coming in. But sometimes they only see what they see.
Uh-oh.
They only see what they see. How does it affect me?
Yeah.
I don't care how it affects anybody else. So he comes over to my shop and he goes, hey, I'd like to sell you these cards. And I go, I'm kind of being a little bit more discerning on what I'm buying.
Yeah.
Okay. I literally buy everything for the right price. However, you know, I got to be a little bit more careful.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
So the guy comes in and he goes, I got to get rid of these cards. And he was giving me cards that were like, what? Why would I want this?
Yeah.
RJ Barrett. Who's in a trade today? RJ Barrett.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Zach LaVine.
Were they at least rookie cards?
Okay. Fourth year Peyton Manning jersey card.
Oh, like, yeah.
Like, what am I going to do with this stuff, right?
I know.
And he wanted like 85% of value. And I'm like, bro, I can't do that.
That's not how this works.
And he goes, but I got to get rid of these before they go down in value. He's selling this to me. And I'm like, oh, well then. As long as I could save you, I guess I should.
Yeah, you gave the hobby shop the power back there. What are you doing?
Listen, I wasn't going to buy it anyways. But
yeah.
Point of what I'm getting at is we're all feeling a pinch. I own two title companies, one in Orlando and one in Kansas area, Junction City, Kansas. Mm-hmm. And they're real estate related, right? We're the mediator between buyers and sellers. And we're seeing a slowdown because of the interest rates.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what economy. I talked to a guy who's one of our great customers. He's a high-level salesman within Puma. He's like, we're slower too. Every industry that I talk to is seeing a slowdown. So it's not expected that something that's a non-necessity, which is cards and memorabilia,
mm-hmm.
that's a getaway. That's a...
It's a non-essential.
Right. It's a non-essential. And so you would expect that.
Yeah.
Look, I could complain about gas prices all I want.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to walk to work because I don't want to pay gas prices.
That's an essential.
Right. That's an essential. I'm going to buy toilet paper because I got to wipe my butt. So I have to buy toilet paper no matter what it costs. So there's essential versus non. Mm-hmm. And our industry is one of those that are non-essential. However, I will tell you that the reason why I love our hobby still mm-hmm. is because we're a great getaway.
Yes.
We're a great getaway in the stresses of life. And people are still buying. They're just not buying at that level that they were before.
And the hobby is still growing, and that's the important part, I think. As long as a hobby continues to grow, as long as people keep buying and selling and trading cards, whether the price is up or down, I think it's more important that the hobby is thriving than, per se, the price. Because we were never going to get back to the COVID pricing that we had during 2020, 2021.
Well, there was a lot of people that shouldn't have, that were never in the industry.
Yeah.
Okay, they were never in the hobby. These were people that were sports bettors.
Yes.
With no games. So what do?
You go to?
Go buy a card and treat it like a stock.
Yep.
Sneaker guys that thought that they could come in and be sneaker guys and flip. I could think of, there's a group in LA area, Cool Kicks. They opened a store called Melrose Cards. They opened for less than a year and they shut it down because they realized we should stick to what we're good at, which is
shoes.
Shoes.
Different game.
Correct. So you had a lot of people that were involved that didn't really either have the passion or the understanding of specifically cards. Don't get me wrong. Cool Kicks is a really strong business in the shoe game.
Yes.
So people that wanted to dabble and try to come in, there was an artificial inflation of values. So what I'm getting at is that when we're talking about the industry itself, the industry of cards, we're going to see people come in and I'm going to give you a quick analogy. Well, I've been doing real estate for more than 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
When I worked with sellers wanted the very most amount for their house,
yes.
Right? But you don't understand. I was born here, or my son was born here, and I had this house, and
yeah.
You know, my carpet smells better than the other place's carpet, right? Like their house is worth at least 20% more than what a comparable value house is. And then when they sell the house, then they want to go buy a house, and they want to pay the least. Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't. Well, fair market value is this. Yeah. Well, I want to pay under that. So you want to sell higher than market value, and you want to buy lower than market value.
Yeah.
It's all relative, right?
It all is.
So if the person sells a card less than what they bought it for, I get it. It stings.
Mm-hmm.
But they're buying a card cheaper than they've ever been able to buy a card before.
Yeah.
So as long as you're staying within the same ecosphere, you're fine.
Exactly.
And I just want people to know that if you want to buy a Brock Purdy card today, it's a lot less after four interceptions than it was when he threw three touchdowns, no interceptions.
I know. This time last week it was 275, and now it's down to probably closer than the 100s.
Good time to buy if you really believe in Brock Purdy.
Yeah, man. You think a bounce back's happening?
Are they no longer a Super Bowl contender after one game?
We're going to find out this weekend against the Commanders.
Well, think about this. Just thinking of Purdy specifically. The guy throws four interceptions. Two or three of them were bat downs.
Yes.
Right? Anything could have happened on those ones. One went through, was it Debo's hands or Ayuk's hands?
Kittle.
No, went through and then intercepted. Like, it was a stretch. Nate, who was it?
Was it Kit? Who was it?
That was Ayuk 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago?
That was two weeks ago. It was a missed time route.
Mm-hmm. So when you start adding up these miscues, how many are really on the quarterback? Purdy, I mean, would they lose? 19 to 32 or something like that?
33-19, yes.
33-19, something like that. So it's one sway one way or another in order to change the fortunes.
Mm-hmm.
So I want people to really think about it. Like, Sam Howell is a stinker. Okay? Yeah. He sucks.
They're playing Jacoby Brissett. Well, maybe. He's questionable.
What I'm saying, though, is hobby-wise, this guy sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he's proven that he sucks over time. Zach Wilson sucks.
Horrible.
Zach Wilson has proven, I'm not good at football.
No.
Okay? Purdy has proven, I'm really good at football, and I had a really bad week.
And that happens. And it happens.
Look at. So what I'm getting at is, either you really believe in the player, or you're a speculative, you know, week by week day trader.
Exactly.
And you have to make a decision as a hobby collector in 24. What am I doing? What's my game plan?
What are you in it for? That's my biggest thing. I tell people this all the time too, because I'm talking to a friend of mine who's both in and out of sports. He's like, I kind of want to get into it. My dad, same thing. He's like, I kind of want to get into it, but I only want to pull rare stuff. I go, well, let me tell you how that works. It's you get lucky opening a box of cards, or you buy the singles you want, but it's going to cost you what the comp is. And so what are you in it for is a big question.
Look, if you want to be Sally Safe or Samuel Safe, mm-hmm. go buy graded vintage.
Yes.
Go buy Mickey Mantles. Go buy Willie Mays. That's your mutual fund. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mickey Mantle is not going to hit any home runs, and he's not going to tear his ACL.
Nope.
Right. It's done.
He's done.
So pick up these GOAT-type players and know that, you know, mm-hmm. but when you want to mess around and speculate and you want to have a Purdy, that's up to you. He's the guy. He's the guy. There's no, they're not going to draft anybody to replace him. They're not going to pick up somebody in free agency.
They're not.
He's the guy. He's the face of the franchise. So you have a long leash with him, okay? Zach Wilson was drafted to be the guy.
Number two pick.
But he proved from the beginning that he sucks,
mm-hmm.
right?
There was no real peak with Zach. It was kind of just a mediocrity the whole way through.
And you know what? I'm not perfect, for sure, when it comes to this.
None of us are.
I bought a ton of Jake Browning right before his game last Saturday. I'm talking about, I bought like 50 cards.
I know you were big on Jake. I'm not
big on Jake. I'm big on the customers asking me for Jake.
Yeah.
Where are those customers now?
Yeah.
Right?
Where's all the Folsom alums?
I still have all four autographed Jake Brownings sitting in my case.
Do you really?
The same time. Like literally, I bought it hours before their game.
Oh my
when he
gosh.
Put up the stinker.
And then you're watching the game. It's like, oh man, what did I do?
So when people go, oh yeah, you don't understand. It's like, bro, I'm you times 100 because I have to supply.
I live this, you know. It's. I love when people, when customers come in and go, you don't understand. I go, no, I do understand. I live this for a living. I mean, not me, but you obviously speaking for yourself. So that's always funny to me when I see stuff like that.
Hey, I pay my rent. I pay my car payment. I pay my bills with what I do pay my everything as a sports card and memorabilia shop owner. Mm-hmm. Nobody takes more risks than me.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm okay with it. But I also want people to know that when you are talking about collecting cards, remember that some of us are doing it for a living, and that's how much I believe in what we're doing here. Yeah. So it's okay to feel ups and downs of the roller coaster.
It's gonna happen.
But you gotta make sure that you invest as much as you can afford to invest.
Yes.
And also, at some point, you just collect stuff because you like it. Mm-hmm. I have 5 gold LeBron rookie cards.
Yeah,
They're numbered to 99. Mm-hmm. They're probably one of his most sought-after cards. I have 5 of them. I haven't thought about selling any of those, okay? Because he's GOAT.
He's the man.
He's GOAT.
Modern GOAT.
And when you have modern GOAT cards, you don't get rid of them. I have, when we're talking about PSA 10 Jordans, those aren't being sold, okay? I'm not selling them.
Yeah.
So there's cards that you just hang on to because of what it is.
Oh, yeah.
And I just want to make sure that people understand that 24, the economy is going to change. Mm-hmm. Good, bad, I don't know. But it's an election year, and the powers that be are going to try to make people feel calm.
Yes.
Other powers that be are going to try to people say there's chaos. So you're going to see that there's going to be some stability. Just even the housing market in the last 2 months, we went from 8% to about 6.5%.
Wow.
In a mortgage that's $500,000, mm-hmm. that's a difference of hundreds of dollars per month in the same house. So you're seeing a reduction in that, which means that people are seeing a little bit more stable economy. And I like the fact that you didn't walk into my card shop and Purdy today is $100 and a week from now it's $175.
Yeah.
Our people are like, that sucks. I can't, stuff's becoming unattainable.
Yes.
But you know who feels good about it? The guy that bought it for $100.
Correct.
But when it goes to 175 and then it goes to 150, then they feel crummy about it. It's like, stop riding the roller coaster.
It's all relative. Yes. Just enjoy the products you have. Again, I went in the other day and just bought a box of Donruss Optic. Did I make my money back in the box? No. But did I have fun ripping it? Yeah, it's about, for me especially, it's about what you like collecting. I like collecting basketball cards. I like collecting Donruss Optic. I think it's a very, very pretty set, very basic with the color schemes and very cool that way. You can't go into it just thinking, oh, am I going to make my money back? Oh, am I going to get this? Am I going to get that? Enjoy the ride. It's fun.
Well, I sell wax because our customers love wax.
Yeah.
But it's a gamble.
It is.
It's a gamble. And if you want something sure, look at my cases. I have over 700,000 cards on display to where you could touch them, feel them, hold them, look at them yourself. Buy the card you want.
Yes.
Okay. You want to spend $400 on a box, that's up to you. You might pull a $10,000 card. We had a guy, one of our best customers. Yeah. He opens a box of Mosaic for $400. He pulls one card. We sell it on his behalf for $14,000. Those stories happen. But there's 4 to 5 stories of that box didn't hit the way I wanted it to.
Yep.
For every time somebody says, this was awesome.
And you're listening to one of them. I'm one of those stories that have ripped back and went, man, I just wasted all that money. What did I do? It's a part of the ride. Enjoy it. Not everything in life is going to be enjoyable. Like, you're going to hit the big one every time. You got to enjoy the ride with it, whether you're collecting or selling or buying. It's all relative.
I find that the least enjoyable is when somebody spends more than they want to and gets something that they don't want.
Yeah.
And Rob Veris was on our show a couple weeks ago. What I love about Rob, and what you don't know, Emilio, and I haven't said it yet, I made a one-day trip down to Southern California this past week to buy an entire memorabilia collection. It's going to happen. Some beautiful stuff in there. I'll explain to you later.
Excited to see it.
But I had some extra time, so I went back to Burbank Cards, hung out with Rob for a few hours, talked with him. And again, he said it best. He said, who goes into a break on whatnot or whatever and feels good about their buy into the break? So if they bought into a break, let's just say there was 30 spots, pick your team, and they all paid an amount, 6 or 8 of those people are going to feel good.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm happy that I did it. Mm-hmm. But you're going to have 2/3 of them upset and not happy about what they bought.
Yeah.
Because either they got little to no value or nothing at all.
All got base cards. We all got base cards, yeah.
And so, you know, at that point, nobody likes spending money and receiving nothing, mm-hmm. right? Unless you're a gambler, right?
I mean, that's what this is, theoretically, especially with breaks. It's gambling. It's so, gambling on a spot.
I'm looking right here in the chat for YouTube. They talked about Top Shot, which was the NFT, non-fungible token.
Oh, gosh.
I've never liked them.
No.
And those are one of those assets that I think is tanked in 23.
Isn't there a basketball? What is it? Soray?
It's called Top Shot. I don't know.
There's multiple. There's also, it's like Soray. I saw the Victor Wembanyama 101 sold for like 100 grand or something crazy. And like, it's a digital card. Why would you want a digital card? You want a physical, you want to hold it in your hands.
Well, I guess some people could say stock is like that. Do you physically hold Apple stock in your hands?
I guess so. No. I guess that's fair.
So it's one of those volatile things that I just don't involve myself in. If you love NFTs, Godspeed.
Yeah, Godspeed.
Third thing I want to talk about of 23, it was a topic, was exclusive autograph card agreements.
Yes.
It has really hurt the market quite a bit. You know, Panini is 1 week away from announcing or releasing Prizm Football. We'll have it in shop. It'll probably be somewhere just under $900 a box. It's not bad. I know you're exhaling.
My mind is just
Prizm. But I'm telling
Prizm.
You.
Yeah, I know.
21 was at $1,200 a box.
It's Prizm. It's the cream of the crop of the low to mid end. Yeah.
Yeah, I would tell you it's just one of those
the Godfather
staple
yeah.
ones. But when you look at it, it's like, all right, so if we did $900 a box, what can we get? What's the very best card you could get? Well, the very best card that you could get in the Mosaic product, we pulled one of our customer pulls, which was the 1-of-1 Mosaic CJ Stroud.
Nebula.
Right. But what's the very best product that can come out of Prizm?
The black 1-of-1?
Probably. Is it going to be autographed?
No.
CJ Stroud? No.
It will not be.
No. Would it be Anthony Richardson autograph 101?
Were you saying that's the best?
Like would that be the best?
Yeah, probably.
So the second, third, or fourth best quarterback in the draft, mm-hmm. autograph 101 is the best product? Weird, right?
It's very confusing and weird.
Right. So these agreements that Fanatics have put together by getting these exclusive guys have hurt the releases of current products.
Yeah.
So when you go into a product knowing that you cannot get CJ Stroud autograph out of Panini products, it tanks the value.
Which is kind of the whole point of opening. You want the auto, right? You want the auto.
For the most part, yeah. I mean, people love color, but at the same time, it's like, if I don't have a chance at getting the Rookie of the Year's autograph,
yeah,
what am I opening this product for? So as a distributor of the cards to the consumer, I have to stock it.
Oh, yeah.
Is it its best value? Maybe, maybe not. Because if you want a CJ Stroud auto, where do you got to go? Tops Allen and Ginter.
Yep.
Baseball product.
Where are you going? Wembanyama auto.
Or
a Tops Allen and Ginter.
Or Wild Card Automania. Because they have a ton of CJ Stroud autograph stuff too. Right? So it's like, it's wild to me where you have to go to get the product that you want.
Wild Card's a fun rip.
You want Caleb Williams? He's exclusive to Tops right now.
Yeah.
So you got to pull him out of Bowman U. He's likely to be top one or two pick in the upcoming draft.
Mm-hmm.
You want Drake May? He's currently only in Bowman U, right? So do you want Bryce Young? You got to open Bowman U product. You're not going to get it in Panini.
Mm-hmm.
So the guys that have the license to have them in the football jerseys don't have the ability to put an autograph on there. You want a Victor Wembanyama Spurs autograph? Not possible.
Not here. It's not
happening. Doesn't happen.
Nope.
So you have to buy a product like Prizm, not even Panini. You have to buy Bowman Inception University.
Yep.
You have to buy Topps Allen and Ginter.
And it's him in a non-licensed uniform with no logo or really anything. It's just the autograph that you're going for. And it makes it so, so confusing and so frustrating for collectors, especially in such a big year with Wembanyama. It's like, man, you got to do it this year because you want to have all the right pieces together because that maintains the value.
He's not going to be Rookie of the Year.
He's not. It'll be Chet.
It's going to be
Which
Chet.
Is its own discussion, which I don't want to get into.
Which, by the way, I think Victor is a long-term hold, not a short-term hold.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
Victor is.
Because when the guy doesn't win Rookie of the Year, but it's okay. There are plenty of people that won Rookie of the Year that the the better player shaked out of that class. I don't think Chet's ever going to go downwards, but, you know, there's – look who won Rookie of the Year, a guy named Tyreek Evans.
Yeah.
Right? Where's Tyreek right now? I think he's
– Playing hoops with John Wall in Miami.
Yeah, in LA Fitness somewhere.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the down – you know, that the exclusive auto agreements have caused – quite a bit of volatility in
the
product.
So frustrating. Because it's not just for basketball. It's not just Wembanyama. It's all the top three picks of this year. Wembanyama, Scoot Henderson, and Brandon Miller. All three of them don't have autographs in the upcoming product, which is just so freaking frustrating.
Brandon Miller's low-key good.
I know. I was wrong.
I watched him on League Pass a couple of nights ago. That guy's good.
Scoot's starting to turn on as well, too. Had a good night last night.
Don't talk about Scoot because he kicked the King's butt.
Oh, man.
It was bad.
Are you guys going to talk about the new no. OG Anunoby, no. New York Knicks card?
Who cares?
Okay. Who cares? Kings missed out.
No, they didn't. For what they had to give up, no.
Yeah, that's crazy.
OG, I mean...
Shout out to Masai Ujiri for getting whatever he wants in trades. I don't know how he does it.
The Kings need a defensive player. They have one on their bench. Just
yeah, he can't score either.
Can I interest you in Dorian Finney-Smith?
Yes.
Okay. Can I interest you in Alex Caruso?
Hell yeah.
Too much. You got to give away too much for that.
For Caruso, really?
I think they're going to be asking for a lot.
It's the Bulls.
Well, this is a card show.
They do dumb trades all the time.
Yeah. I don't know.
Look at you. Let's talk about cards.
Yeah, let's do that.
One of the biggest things that, okay, I will tell you, experience through my shop, football is clearly number one. People just run in. They love football. They want to buy football.
In American sports, it's number one. That's what it is.
But I will tell you that baseball is a very strong seller in my store.
Ooh.
Because of locality. Logan Webb's local. You've got lots of little leaguers that are, I mean, Rockland is constantly within the discussion of playoffs of Little League World Series.
Yeah.
So you've got a lot of kids that are growing up baseball and baseball lovers. So
I was just in your shop the other day and there was a crap ton of baseball player little leaguers that came in and were looking through cards and looking through singles. And I was like, man, look at all the kids in here.
With football being what it is, they 21 and 22 and even some 23 football quarterback classes have sucked.
Yes.
Okay. 21 product was supposed to be the generational quarterback class. Here's what we looked at. We looked at Fields, Trevor Lawrence, Davis Mills, Zach Wilson.
Mac Jones,
Trey Lance. I mean, we were living off of five quarterbacks, maybe six if you count Davis Mills, into this beautiful product.
Yeah.
Right? And where are they now? As I've said before, Zach Wilson sucks. He's going to be second string somewhere other than the
Jets. He shouldn't be starting this year. It should have been Aaron Rodgers the whole time.
Right.
Yeah.
So he was already on the bench. Trey was not going to start for the Niners because of
Purdy. And isn't starting for the Cowboys.
And now he moved to the Cowboys.
Third string.
He's never going to be able to get on the field unless there's two major injuries or they just give up on Dak, which they may do, but they won't.
He was an MVP candidate. Why would they give up on him now?
If he's bounced in the first round.
You think it's going to be really?
I think there's discussion.
It's a contract. Yeah,
It's a discussion.
Then you've got Mac. That dude sucks at football.
I mean, the Patriots broke him. Just broke him.
That guy's... And remember, the Niners had him on their radar when they were picking...
I'm well aware. I'm well aware. Fat Mac, I remember.
Nate is like breathing a sigh of relief right now because this isn't Mac Jones.
Okay, but one thing real quick. I dodged a bullet. And Pete, who works at our shop...
Right.
He's my right-hand guy. Pete, he helped me dodge this bullet. I don't spend tons of money on single cards. It's just not my flavor, okay? Mm-hmm. But there was a Mac Jones number 5 autographed PSA 10.
Wow. Okay?
The guy brought it to us at the Sacramento Card Show. Don't forget to meet us next week at the card show. Mm-hmm. At the Sacramento Card Show early last year, okay? Before Mac was on, like, it was Mac. It was Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy wanted $15,000 for the card. I was like, I'll go up to $13,000. And Pete was like, do not do it. And I was like, Pete, you don't understand. This is a GOAT type card. This is something that, you know, we could really maybe make $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 if the guy plays well.
Yeah.
And so the guy wouldn't budge. He was at 15. I was at 13. If he had said 14, I probably would have said yes.
Oh, my gosh.
But he wouldn't move. Okay. That card today, Nate. is worth probably $600.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out Pete.
Shout out to Pete.
So that's wild, dude.
How about shout out the kid that pulled the one of one Mac Jones and sold it for $100,000? Yeah. And that card's maybe worth $1,000?
I don't know.
$1,500?
I don't know. What? Well, I mean, I've taken some L's before. I'm a poker player. I have bad beat stories all live long day, but that would have been one of my worst purchases I'd ever done in the history of my 30 years in the
game. It makes your CJ Stroud move look better too. The card you sold a few weeks ago, because it's like, I mean, you don't know what Stroud, like, you might have sold at Stroud's peak. You might have. I'm not sure, but
hey, but you know that guy took it to SGC. The owner of that, he's out of Houston. The new owner. He took the SGC. It got an SGC 10.
Ooh.
So it did go up in value.
Is that better than a PSA 10?
No, but it's probably 85% of value.
Yeah.
But okay.
He doubled it for sure, the value.
Yeah.
I mean,
interesting.
When you take the one of one and you have a 10, it's pretty incredible.
It's a 10 regardless is kind of what you want there.
So point of what I'm getting at is it's pretty amazing that class sucks so bad. 22 class, they suck too. How about
Brock?
How about Pickett? Okay, yeah, not Brock.
He sucks.
How about Pickett and Malik Willis?
We don't know what Malik Willis is.
I'll tell you what, he's not starting on the Titans.
Will Levis is starting.
So you look at that, it's like, okay, and 23.
Desmond Ridder.
Richardson, he's out.
Yep.
Who else was there? Bryce Young. He's not showing that he's very good at football.
He played better last week, but yes.
Well,
and the Panthers are a
dumpster
fire.
He's got the Kyler Murray syndrome and the Emron Pilates syndrome. You know what that is?
Being short?
Too short. Okay. When you're 5'7" and you're trying to throw over dudes that are 6'3",
it's a problem.
You're going to get batted down balls. You're going to hit the back of your lineman's head because you're trying to throw over them.
Yeah.
Right? So
it's a problem.
When you have three straight classes of mediocre to poor quarterback, this is bad. Right? So I'm praying.
Even Lawrence, who was supposed to be the breadwinner, it's
that
like...
That dude's not playing this week.
Do you want to give Lawrence the extension? Because it's coming up here. It's like, do you want to give him all that money? That's a real question for Jacksonville right now. Do you want to do it?
So, I mean, and you said pre-show you were having an argument with yourself. I told you that Fields isn't going to do well. And you go, no, Fields is great. And then he goes, but if Caleb Williams is up, you got to take him. Like...
Because Caleb Williams.
Yeah, but you're arguing your own point. If the guy was that good, there would be no discussion of any quarterback being drafted. Period, end of story.
Fair.
Right? If the Jaguars had the number one pick, if the Niners had the number one pick, would they pick Caleb Williams? No.
No.
No. Because Purdy is the guy. Go ahead, Nate.
I mean, it's tough. I completely understand your argument. Peyton Manning's rookie year. Horrible. I think he set the interception record. He had an insane amount of interceptions.
See, Troy Aikman, he sucked too. He played.
I know it's crazy. Troy Aikman might be overrated, but
yeah. But the reason why teams have the number one pick is because they suck.
That's true.
Yeah. So you know, it's like Wembanyama's on the worst team in the NBA because they suck.
I mean, they're not the worst team.
NBA is a little different too, because like you can draft same position, quote unquote. Like when you got a quarterback there in the NFL, that's a way harder decision to make.
Yeah, like the Pistons with Jaden Ivey taking him instead of Keegan Murray, which good job by the Kings taking Keegan Murray anyway. Yeah.
So what I'm getting at though is if your quarterback is in a discussion to where there's a potential we should get somebody else, they're not hobby strong to collect. Okay?
And interesting.
And for those of you that are Justin Fields fans, he's going to start somewhere, whether it's with Chicago or somewhere else.
He's like 24.
He's going to start because he's good enough to do that. Because you look at some of the other options, they suck. You know who needs a good change of scenery that would do really well? Sorry to go side topic. I love Gardner Minshew.
Oh,
that dude plays so hard.
Mania.
He's so great. Like, he's one of those guys that just doesn't give up. Right? He's like young Flacco.
Yep.
Chill out.
Let's chill out on that. Joe Flacco and the Browns are in the playoffs. I'm just saying.
Browns versus Niners in the Super Bowl.
Either of those guys in
there. You do not want to see the Browns in the playoffs. I'm telling you right now, you don't. They're a good team.
The only time we're going to see them is in the Super Bowl. So I'm good with that.
And they lose by 40, the Browns.
Topic 5. The Fanatics takeover.
Yes.
Now you have a feeling about it. I have a different feeling. How do you feel?
I have a feeling about the Fanatics takeover?
Yeah.
I feel good about it, I think. I mean, I like, this is really tricky for me because I like Panini's designs for their cards. I just hate their quality control so much that it's actually time for Fanatics. And what I've heard from Michael Rubin, who's the owner of Fanatics, owner.
You heard from him directly?
I heard through interviews and podcasts and stuff.
I was like, dude, bring him on the show.
Yeah, get him on the show.
No, no, no. What I've heard through interviews is that he wants to put the power back into the hobby shops rather than the distributors, which gives me confidence that he's more in it, obviously, to make a profit because he's a businessman, of course, but he's in it to restore the integrity of the hobby, in my opinion.
I will tell you that as a hobby shop, you don't have to guess. I can tell you. Mm-hmm. I have more ability to buy product directly from Topps than ever before.
Yes.
So I'm looking right now at some products that I can buy. I'm staring at my computer right now. I just ordered what's called Topps Rip product, mm-hmm. where there's just a few cards and you rip them open, and some of them have cards inside of the cards that are better or worse.
Oh, yeah.
I just ordered a case of that. I just ordered two cases of Bowman Draft, which we've just been ripping. We sold 8 boxes yesterday alone yeah. of Bowman Draft at $550 a box.
Special.
With the potential of getting a Brady in there, right? Yeah. So, like, I'm getting direct. I don't have to be at the mercy of these distributors who are telling me, sorry, Imran, you're only going to get this many. Sorry. Now what do I tell my customers? Now I have to go hunt the internet trying to find product. And then I'm competing against other people that are, when a breaker is competing to get the same product I'm getting, mm-hmm. and I sell it on my shelf for, as an example, $550.
Yeah.
When a breaker sells it online and they piece it together, if you add up all the pieces of what a breaker had collected from all the different people, it might be $750,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because they charged a mill $50 for that team, yep. and this guy's $60 for that team. And when you add it all up, they're getting like $750 a box.
Yeah.
So can they pay more than what I can pay for it? Yes.
Yes.
So if I'm selling the box for $550 on the wall, and the breaker is buying it for $600 because they're going to make $750 out of the box, mm-hmm. I'm at a loss.
Correct.
Right? So I can't find product to be affordable to my customers. Mm-hmm. So if I can get it directly from the supplier, which I'm doing at this point with Topps and Fanatics, I'm not exclusive with Panini. I don't have a direct account. Mm-hmm. So any Panini product, I have to go through a distributor or I have to go find it somewhere hunting and pecking online to find it.
Yes.
Right? Every time that I refill that, I have to pay whatever the market condition price is. Mm-hmm. And my business partner, Shane, owns an Angry Crab restaurant in Vegas.
Oh.
And he says, Imran, the crab business is one of the best in the world to have. You know why?
Why?
Because people will pay whatever the market price is for the crab if they want to eat the crab.
They will.
Okay? Nobody goes into the crab place and goes, how much is it per pound? $31? Yesterday it was $29. I'll come back tomorrow. They just go, serve me the crab.
Yeah, I know.
Right? So in market conditions, if I go, well, I have to get it for, you know, $500 a box and I'm putting it on the shelf for $550, that sucks for me.
Yeah.
But I want to satisfy and help my customers as best I can. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the customer goes, hey, can I use my credit card? They say, sure. That's $15 gone because it's 3% there. So now I've spent $500 to make $35.
I know.
It's not a fun model, right? It's not a fun model. And not only that, but after you buy the box for $550 and you get skunked or you get less, you feel bad too.
Yeah, I know.
We all feel terrible.
And you got to give me a hug.
And guess who feels great? Panini feels great because they sold the product, right? So the more that I can go directly to the distributor of the product, the better. So Fanatics has done a lot of stuff recently yeah. to make sure that that happens. And they're doing really creative stuff.
Yeah.
Think about what they did. They put Brady in a product. Do you know who to pull out of Bowman product? I don't, and I own a card shop.
Yeah, I know.
Right? I go, I got to look at the dirt sheets, and I got to look and see who's
checklist and all that stuff.
Because these guys are like 19 years old, and they're not going to see
they're
the
major. They're playing in double and single right now.
If that.
Yeah.
I got to wait until 4 years from now to know if they're good. Do you remember the name Marcelo Mayer?
I do.
He plays for the Red Sox.
Yeah.
That guy hasn't sniffed the MLB yet.
Nope.
He will, but he was hot in last year's product.
Hot.
And we're pulling guys that won't see the field on an MLB field for 2 or 3 years.
It's very rarely you see him. The only real one is Ellie De La Cruz, who really made that jump very quickly from being the rookie
and
product.
And his rookie cards are going to come in 24.
Yes, they are.
Right? But, mm-hmm. but he had that really hot streak of about 2 months.
Oh,
kicked
yeah.
butt. All right. So if you insert Brady, the stuff starts flying.
Oh, yeah.
You have a Wembanyama, pull. You pull a redemption card numbered out of 99. They flew you to San Antonio to go to the Fanatics party, and then they picked the card of somebody who's going to have the 101.
They had the taco cards during the World Series where they had, if whoever stole the base, you got a Taco Bell gift card
for life
or something like that.
You have the buyback program to where if you brought in an Ohtani or a Acuna Topps Chrome 23, we as a hobby shop will give you $20 to $120 store credit to use in any way you want.
Yeah.
Like these things that Topps / Fanatics are doing is a great thing for the hobby, and I love it.
And it matters because it gets people more interested and want to be a part of it because they feel a part of the community. They don't feel like they're getting screwed by the distributor or the big company like with Panini, because that's how a lot of people feel right now, is that they keep getting bamboozled by this big company who doesn't care. Whereas Fanatics and Topps, they seem like they do care, and that's all that we're asking for.
So next week, we're going to be at the Sacramento Card Show, again, held in off of Date Avenue at the Wyndham Hotel. It's there off of Madison. Once you make the trip on 80, we'll be there. Our team will be there. We'll be buying and selling cards all day. Don't forget to come into the shop. We have new product coming out, including Prism, which releases January 3rd.
Yes.
So we'll have Prism in shop. And then we just recently had Panini National Treasures Baseball come out yesterday. It's been awesome.
You had one of your biggest clients pull a lot of great stuff yesterday.
Good stuff, including Jackson Holiday on Card Auto. That was awesome.
Love that.
And then don't forget about the SAC Autograph Expo. Do yourself a favor. If you're not on Instagram, follow us on it. If you are on Instagram, follow us on Instagram, both at True Sports Cards as well as SAC Autograph Expo.
Yes.
Those two accounts will have more details. We announced Jay Will. I'll be announcing one of the greatest baseball players of all time next week. And then don't forget our trade night, which is going to be January 13th from 6 to 9 at our shop.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, I will have my voice back. I hope you have a great new year, you, Emil, as well as our listeners, and you too, Nate. And on the other side of the new year, our next show, we're going to be covering what to look forward to in the hobby in 2024.
Yes.
And kind of a few predictions, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I promise to have my voice back.
I mean, you did really good today.
Thanks.
You were better than last week when we had to bring in Alton, unfortunately.
Ladies, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today on the True Sports Card Show here on Sactown Sports 1140. We'll see you next week. Happy New Year. Hope you had a great 23. Hope you have an even better 24, and we'll see you next year.